The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to your weekly dose of heart and soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance with your host, Jory Fisher. Jory and her guests will inspire you to discern your life's purpose and make a positive difference in the world around you. Now, here's Jory Fisher.
Hello and welcome to Heart and Soul. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining us today, November 4th, 2009, from Dallastown, Pennsylvania, is Byron Borger, owner and operator of Hearts and Minds, an independent bookstore in South Central Pennsylvania. Would you like to say hello, Byron?
Well, hello. It's great to be here.
So glad that you could make it. I know you're really, really busy, so we appreciate you taking some time out for us. Once again, I'd like to take a minute to thank Voice America for the opportunity to host this show on the Internet's number one talk station, and thank my listeners for tuning in to another edition of Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. Would you please email me at jory@joryfishercoaching.com if you or someone you know would like to advertise your business or cause on Voice America Variety. Becoming a sponsor of Heart and Soul is a very effective means of getting your message out to millions of listeners. So why a show on purpose, passion, and perseverance? Number one, because I know many of you are wondering how your one life can make a difference in this world. And I want you to be encouraged by people who are purposefully doing their part to shed grace on the world around us. Number two, because I want to assure you that you do indeed have a unique and special reason for being on this earth. And number three, because of my life purpose, which is to shepherd seekers who hunger and thirst to find, follow, and fulfill their divine calling. What you can expect from my show each week is a spirited conversation with one or two dynamic guests, listener interaction, so please call us to make that happen, and a challenge to live your life to the fullest. I'd like to encourage you to listen to my archive shows and to keep your calls and emails coming. With your permission, I may read segments of your emails on air or forward them to my guests so they may respond to you directly. And now it is my privilege to introduce you to the one and only Byron Borger, who along with his wife Beth, owns and operates Hearts and Minds, an independent bookstore in Dallastown in South Central Pennsylvania. He is known as an energetic bookman, one who loves to read, talk about authors and their ideas, and most of all, help customers find resources that will help them in their callings and careers. I first met Byron and Beth at a Christian Legal Society conference in Destin, Florida, and was immediately struck by their passionate interest in helping each customer find exactly what he or she needed. Byron and Beth view their business as a holy calling and hope that listeners will be encouraged to know that great books can help them make a significant difference in their lifetime. So, Byron, would you please start us off by telling our listeners what motivated you to open your bookstore in the first place?
Well, Jory, I have to say that I'm just humbled by your nice remarks, and I feel like it is a real privilege to be here. Your show is important. I hope you gain an ever-increasing listenership, because this kind of stuff about purpose and passion and commitment is the hunger people have. I'm just convinced of it in this new millennium, to have meaning in their lives, and that has something to do with how they use their gifts, their own sense of calling, and their sense of purpose. So in a certain sense, our bookstore got started to help equip people to do those very things. My wife and I, back in the 70s, worked in campus ministry. We're religious folks, so we ended up working for a church and doing outreach through an organization called the Coalition for Christian Outreach, the CCO, out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And they link people with churches that are near college campuses. And so we were working on a college campus helping students realize their dreams in their academic world so that they could prepare for a job. But as you probably know, and as your listeners probably have experienced, many people view jobs as sort of a bad thing, like, oh, I got to go to work and just make money, or they do it as sort of almost, you know, I just want to get money so I can get a big house so I can then quit working. And we try to help students develop sort of an alternative to that, a vision that their life could make sense, could be meaningful, could be significant, and that their jobs mattered even to God. And as we did that, we found books to be inevitably helpful to help students make those connections between how they studied, what they were dreaming to do with their lives, their sense of vocation and calling, their work, their careers, their professions, and what they believe most deeply about the meaning of life as Christian students. So they often said to me, these young kids in the 70s, you ought to have a bookstore. You're always making us read these books. And we realized, well, maybe we should. We should try to open a bookstore that sort of has a specialty of relating the deepest religious things of life, sort of like a religious bookstore, but yet about professions and vocations and meaning and purpose in the workaday world. So that's how we did it. We decided to move home near where my wife's parents grew up, lived, and where my parents lived. And we ended up in near York, Pennsylvania, down below Harrisburg in Lancaster, Amish country. And we're in a little town called Dallas Town, an ordinary small town. And we just opened up this store right next to our house and raised our kids here underfoot. And 27 years later, we're still at it.
That's something. Well, but needless to say, it's not the kind of bookstore where people just wander in off the street and you only cater to folks in Dallas Town, Pennsylvania. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about how you do get the books into the people's hands who need them?
Well, we do have a substantial commitment to being in our town here, the York County area, and working with churches and schools and libraries and the hospital. I mean, anywhere people need good literature to help them cope with life's issues, we're here. But yes, as you said, we met at a conference for the Christian Legal Society, an association of faith-based lawyers and human rights activists and people that do pro bono work for the poor, all these great Christian lawyers, and they ask us to come to their annual convention and sell books there sometimes. Or other events, whether it's professional things like artists. We've worked with faith-based scientists, environmental groups, mission groups, people trying to make a difference, church groups, and we lug up our trucks and set up a bookstore at conferences. And so we end up probably a third of our business is off-site at various events. Just came back this weekend from Penn State, where there was a faith-based event for college students on how the Christian faith can provide an intellectual basis for thoughtfulness in the university. And so that was a fun event. So, yeah, we're out and about taking books to different conferences, and we have a website and mail order. We do a lot of consulting online, making lists of books for people that say, I have this problem or this life issue or this concern. I'm not quite a coach the way you are. You do coaching, but we do recommend books to people. Bibliotherapy, we call it.
Oh, that's great. Well, I have this vision. I've seen you now at two different conferences, and I have this vision with literally thousands of books, and your team, your wife Beth is always with you, and your team there, and people are coming up to you and saying, well, I have this problem or I have this question, and there you are just advising them which books you recommend. You did that for me. I've seen you do that for just hundreds of people. And I just want to thank you for the wonderful, wonderful service that you're providing.
Well in kind addition of you to say that, I have to admit, and I don't want to sound critical of colleagues, but it is true that I hear from people often that even booksellers don't read much anymore. And so to go to a store and you wander into these big box stores and they're spiffy and big and have great signage and great discounts, and you'll be lucky if you can find somebody that knows what they're talking about, particularly that is willing to listen to you and relate your deepest convictions and values to the issues of your life. So we view ourselves as sort of coaches and counselors and helpers and educators and entrepreneurs and business people. So we're trying to sell books, but we're doing it with that kind of personalized service. And I know there's other places that do it well, but it's rare these days to find even booksellers to read. So people tell us that they appreciate it. We're hoping it's helpful.
Well, absolutely. I know the students that I've been with who have been in your aura certainly do appreciate all the help that you've given them. And as I said, you've certainly given me a lot, so it's just great. Well, could you say a little bit about, in addition to going out to these conferences, to the college campuses, how do you go about getting the right books to the right people?
Oh, my. Well, we pray a lot, and we flip coins, and we take big risks into the dark and sometimes say, I wonder if this might be helpful. It really is intuitive, and there's no simple answer. But it is our sense that there is a real need out there. There's a hunger, And again, I hate to sound critical because I'm not a sour person really, but there is this sense that I think a lot of people, even that go to church, don't hear from their congregations or their faith communities, from their rabbis or their priests, they don't really always hear that what they do on Monday morning matters as much as what they do on Sunday morning. And so a lot of church people try to get people more involved in their churches. Or if you're in a social club, the Kiwanis or something, they're committed to helping you with that particular service thing. But to make the connection to all of life and to work, there's just not a place where people go to hear that, that kind of guidance that you're made to count and that what you do matters and that you can kind of connect the dots between Sunday and Monday. So we're largely about, not the right books for the right people, but this sense of vision, helping people frame things the right way. And as they think about things with that vision that their convictions matter, then the kind of right books will fall into place. We do a lot of time listening to people. We hear where they're coming from. We want to know what they're about, what their deepest things are. And then you can begin to sort of draw on our library of books to say, okay, here's the one you might need or that might work for you. I'm not going to give a real heavy academic book to someone that doesn't read a lot. On the other hand, if somebody's really bright and they've got a PhD in something and they're in the middle of a job change and they need a bibliography for an article they're writing, I'll do a different level of book recommendations. So a lot of it is just sizing up what people need and listening well to what their deepest heart yearnings are and then trying to find the resources that are going to work for them.
That's wonderful. And in fact, later on in the show, I would like to run some scenarios by you, and then perhaps you could make a recommendation
for what
you'd recommend. Yeah, because I think that would give our listening audience an example of the kind of thing that you do, which is really great.
What you're saying is that
you've observed a disconnect then between, say, what goes on either Friday evening or Sunday morning or Saturday whenever people worship, and then what happens in the workplace, say, or just in their regular lives, work lives on Monday? Is that what you're saying?
Well, absolutely. You know, there was some research done after the big Enron scandal, and with the recent Wall Street scandal a year ago, we sort of forget about the Enron thing, but a few years back, that was one of the largest business ethical scandals in American history. And a lot of guys, some of them went to jail for cooking the books down in Texas. And it became evident that some of the guys that literally went to jail for these ethical quandaries in the work world were actually members of fairly evangelical megachurches. And so they interviewed these guys and said, how is it that you are a conservative, Bible-believing Christian and all that stuff, and yet you cook the books and you do illegal things and you go to jail for lack of business ethics in the midweek? And here's what one of the guys said in a book that was written about that. It was called The Tao of Enron. The guy said we were just, the corporate culture was such that we just knew we had to hang our faith up on the coat hook with our coat and hat when we went to work and pick it back up again on our way out the door. In other words, there's this disconnect in the culture where you're not supposed to talk about religion in public life. You're supposed to keep it secular. So if you have private beliefs, that's your personal business for Sunday. But on Monday morning, you hang it up with your coat and hat. Now, it seems to me that we're getting away from that, thank goodness. But a lot of churches almost imply that. The fancy word for it is dualism, that there's this dualism between the sacred and the secular, between Sunday and Monday, between the things that allegedly God cares about most, prayer or Bible study, and the things that are just sort of secondary, second class, secular, work and money and sex and politics. And we're here to say that if you're a religious person, God claims it all. Every square inch of his creation is made by him and is being redeemed by him. And so therefore there's unique meaning and ethics in every zone of life, whether it's art or politics, entertainment or science, what you think about race or what you think about the aging or what you think about war and peace. Every area of life can be colored by and given great meaning if you have these deep convictions. But our churches sometimes are dualistic. And our culture is sometimes secularistic, and so those two pressures from the culture and the church make us live these fragmented, compartmentalized lives. So then I come along and say, do you want to read a book on science or art or business or professionalism? Or you come along as a coach and say, do you want help relating your deepest values to the way you work? And some people go, huh? I didn't even know you were supposed to do that. But once they get that vision, then life becomes abundant.
There you go. Well, Byron, we do need to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, I'd love to continue this conversation. We can discuss Byron's suggested remedy for bridging this disconnect between, say, Sunday morning and the rest of the week, as well as his assessment of the state of religious publishing. This is your host, Jory Fisher, broadcasting from Lynchburg, Virginia, and my guest, Byron Borger, speaking to us from Dallastown, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If you can't put down a good mystery novel, you'll want to check out Mystery Matters with Fran Stewart. Each week, you'll hear from the top mystery writers of our time. From suspense thrillers to forensics, you'll explore all of the categories that make a great mystery work. Not only will we discuss the secrets of the story, but we'll go behind the novel to sort out all of the pieces of the puzzle. Broadcast live each Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America. Mystery Matters, where murder is an open book.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. Listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to jory@joryfishercoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. We've been listening to Byron Borger discuss why he runs a business whose mission is to help people enrich their lives by reading quality books on vocation, avocation, and faith. Byron, we were just talking about the disconnect between Sunday morning and the rest of the week. Would you please briefly restate the problem as you see it and tell us your vision for a better way of life?
Well, it's hard to do it briefly, but the short version is that I believe deeply, and there's books that analyze this. If somebody later wants to send an email and say, tell me more about this, there is in our culture this sort of disconnect where there's a dualism between what people claim they believe in their religious lives and what they believe in sort of their ordinary lives. And the Christian faith believes, as does Judaism and Islam for that matter, that God is God of all areas of life, and that a meaningful life, an abundant life, a rich life, is not disconnected or fragmented where your faith is one little compartment and the rest of your life is sort of secular,
mm-hmm.
but that all of life is one woven fabric of integrity. And so your deepest beliefs, if you're a follower of Jesus, for instance, will color not just your church life or your Bible reading or your personal devotions, but your family, your politics, your work, your career, how you vote, how you shop. Every area of life can be given greater meaning as we see it as an act of service to God and God's presence in the midst of that ordinary life. It's a holistic, integrated vision, and that's the alternative to a fragmented, dualistic vision.
The alternative to hanging up your coat on Friday, Monday morning and picking up again on Friday night and just having the weekend be completely different and worship.
It really is something. Because we mm-hmm. specialize in books that tend to be about integrating faith and life, we have had people walk into our bookstore and they see a section on, say, the arts, or they see a whole section on science, and they say, we thought this was supposed to be a religious bookstore, as if religious bookstores don't care, as if God doesn't care about art or science or economics or family. And so if we're just passionate about this idea that there is no area of life that is
mm-hmm.
somehow separated from
untouched
faith, and that
right.
faith leads to every zone of life being a new passionate arena for service. It's funny, the Bible
Byron,
says that all of life is
I went ahead and entitled our little show today, Callings, Careers, and Cultural Reform. We'll be talking about callings and careers in another segment, but would you please address cultural reform in these next few minutes?
Well, again, it's a great, great question, and again, it's the same sort of dualism that tends to have some people think that faith is sort of private and personal and maybe some sort of solace in the midst of hard times, as it certainly is, or a promise of heaven after you die, which, again, I believe it is. But in the Christian tradition, again, Jews and Islam believe the same thing. In the great monotheistic religions, the Christian faith is a dynamic that makes the world a better place. We don't only just love God, but we love others. And so, therefore, we have to be savvy about the world in which we live, the culture, the institutions, the structures, whether it's economics or the workplace, whether it's movies and film, whether it's media and law. Every zone of cultural life affects how we live. So if we're serious about loving our neighbor, then we have to somehow be agents of transformation of the culture around us, not just privatized inner faith, but a dynamic that tries to make the world a better place, which means, by definition, shaping politics, shaping economics, shaping cultural mores, shaping values. One of my great heroes of that is William Wilberforce, the great abolitionist
mm-hmm.
who stopped slavery in England
right.
by trying to change both laws and manners, as he called it, by which I guess he meant morals or mores. But in his
mm-hmm.
great passionate statement was, I want to stop slavery and improve the manners. And by changing the manners or the morals of the culture, he could also change the politics and laws of the culture and save so many people from the suffering of slavery. So as an act of love of neighbor, he worked for justice, but to work for justice,
mm-hmm.
he had to change the whole culture and the mores and the manners and the values of how people carried themselves and believed
mm-hmm.
about the meaning of life. So,
and it took him his entire lifetime, right up to his death.
His entire lifetime.
It worked, didn't it?
And there are wonderful books on these exact things. One of my favorites is called Serious Times, Making Your Life Matter in an Urgent Day. You know, there was a letter from John Adams to Thomas Jefferson in their great correspondence at the end of their life after they reconciled, after their falling out. They both died the
yeah.
same day,
yeah.
50
yeah.
years after the Declaration of Independence was signed. And,
right.
and they were corresponding, and John Adams says, you know, my friend, you and I have lived in serious times. And a guy named James Emery White picked up that phrase and said, you know, we live in serious times in the beginning of a new millennium, and we could learn to have passionate lives and meaningful lives and transforming lives if we look at others in history who have lived at critical hinges of history and have made a difference. And so he looks at Wilberforce and people like St.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, who taught people to read in Ireland, or St. Benedict, that really taught people how to pray more deeply in the Middle Ages, or even Mother Teresa of today. So each chapter is a story of a person who made a difference living in serious times and what we could learn from them as our life matters in an urgent day. So there's books like that. There's books like Culture Making by Andy Crouch, my book of the year last year.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
what it means to be an agent of changing the horizons of the possible is how he puts it, that we're put here in this world to make it a better place. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, the Bible says, and said, tend and keep it. So we're gardeners. We're supposed to develop the potentialities and the beautiful potentials of creation. And so we make art, and we make families, and we make omelets, and we make laws, and we make all sorts of things. And that's a good thing to be about. Humans desire flourishing of the world, and it's our job to make the world a better place. So he wrote this wonderful, wonderful book, an overview of what culture is in the biblical tradition and how Christians particularly, or anyone, could find greater joy in starting new initiatives to make the world a better place.
Well, in addition to Serious Times, you had recommended a book to me a year or so ago, which I absolutely love, Leading Lives That Matter, What We Should Do and Who We Should Be. And that also addresses the lives of individuals, you know, whether it's Dorothy Day or C.S. Lewis or Robert Frost, Leo Tolstoy. I mean, it's incredible. And that's exactly what it does, is it shows us how we can make a difference and how our lives can count. And listening audience, that is exactly the kind of thing that Byron does, is you go to him and you say, I would like to have a book that relates to this or relates to that, and he can make these amazing recommendations. Well, what about, you know, we don't have that much time right now, but Byron, just would you please address, what about other faith perspectives? How would your books be of value to somebody who's not a Christian?
Well, because we don't call ourselves a Christian bookstore, we carry books from all different perspectives, things that are coherent and wise and helpful, like that Leading Lives That Matter does have everybody from Albert Schweitzer to, you know, John Milton, people that were Christians, people that weren't, Malcolm X and Aristotle. So there are a lot of books out there that people of various faith traditions can come to appreciate. A book I'm reading right now is called The Life Worth Living, by Byron Sherwin, who is a pretty, I think, internationally renowned Jewish theologian. He's a scholar of Jewish philosophy, and he wrote this book about meaning and purpose. So we have books from a variety of faith perspectives, and some that are just sort of motivational, and I think we're able to help people find books that are going to be useful for them. If religion turns them off, there's other books that use different kind of language to get at this stuff. And I think there are people who aren't Christians who are beginning to read Christian books, realizing some of them are very helpful. And so even though they may not have a personal commitment to Jesus, they're very willing to read something like, say, The Purpose-Driven Life, which made history for being such a big seller.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of books that are being published these days, religious books, what is your opinion on the kinds of religious books that are being published now?
Well, it's one of those things, like the great novel put it, you know, it's the best of times and the worst of times. The listener gets extra credit if they know what novel that's from, about the French Revolution. The best of times and the worst of times. There is some really cheesy stuff out there in the book world and in the religious book world especially. There is just junk and silliness and buffoonery of all sorts. However, we can make fun of the televangelists all we want. There is really a renaissance of religious publishing. We've been in this business almost 30 years, and I am happier now about the books coming out than I have been in my entire career of this. Been a book lover for 40 or 50 years, and have been a bookseller for almost 30. I am excited about the professionalism, the relevance, the way theology is becoming more relevant to people. Good books that aren't dry and boring, but that help life come alive. There's more books about vocation and calling and purpose. It's no wonder that there are coaches out there now helping people navigate the issues of daily life, because there's books and resources there to help you with that. Stuff like culture. When I was growing up, there were not any books on the Beatles, on the things that were interesting in the counterculture of the 60s and 70s when I came of age. I thought my religion really was dualistic, that faith never addressed the big issues I cared about. Well, nowadays, that's simply not true. There are books analyzing the contemporary films of today. There's books about modern art, and we have them. There's books on theater. There's books on novels. There's books on The Simpsons, for crying out loud, popular culture, that help people understand the deepest convictions of our worldview and how our culture is or isn't working out. There's things on relating faith to professional life, business and teaching and psychology, and of course parenting, being a mom or a dad. There's really rich resources, and they look pretty cool. They're fun to read. I think in a lot of people's eyes, religious books are sort of dry and boring or cheesy and shallow, and that just isn't the case anymore. Some of the best books being printed are coming out of religious publishers, so we're pretty proud of what we do nowadays.
Good.
You know, there's some weirdness out there and some goofiness. There's tons of great stuff, and we're here to help people find it.
Beautiful. Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite our listeners to call us now with any questions you may have for our guest, Byron Borger of Hearts and Minds Bookstore. You may also email your questions and comments to Jory at joryfishercoaching.com. If you do email, Please tell me which, if any, of your comments may be read on air either today or next week, and if I may mention your name and state. After this quick break, Byron will give you his recommendations for great books on calling, vocation, purpose, and careers. This is your host, Jory Fisher, and my lively guest, Byron Borger, owner of Hearts and Minds. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
I'm Selma, and I'll be your server this evening. The special is pasta primavera, and it comes with a salad. Oh, and by the way, I abuse my children. Lots of times, I beat them for even the smallest reason. When they really get on my nerves, I lock them in the closet for a few hours.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize, perhaps then more people would report it. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit www.childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children, and we can help you. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So remember, 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit www.childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
While parenting has its joys, it's also stressful. If you'd like help finding practical solutions to the challenges you're facing, listen to Real Parents, Real Solutions with host Tony Shuda. You'll leave with options you can try with your kids right after the broadcast. Tony will interview experts and real parents for real solutions to problems that will reduce your stress and make your family happier. Call in, write in. This show is for you. Real Parents, Real Solutions airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time, the number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to jory@joryfishercoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Hello, welcome back to Heart and Soul. We've been talking with my energetic friend, Byron Borger, about religious publishing, resources for cultural reform, and leading lives that matter. For people who are interested in books related to calling, vocation, avocation, the meaning of life, Byron, what authors and books would you recommend and why?
Well, I know we have to keep moving here, and I could spend all day on this topic. It's one of my favorites, and we have a specialty of books helping people think through the theology of vocation and call. One of my all-time favorites, it's a life-changing book for me, a defining moment, was when I read Oz Guinness's book entitled The Call. Oz is an eloquent, elegant writer. The chapters are short, but yet they're meaty. Tells lots of stories from the history of culture and writers and poets and thinkers. But basically, it's a Christian guide to the lordship of Christ over every area of life, and that if God calls us to himself, then he also commissions us to what the Puritans called a secondary calling. Of course, our first calling is just to be a human that follows God. But the secondary mm-hmm. calling is your particular vocation or career, the thing that he's given you the passion and the gifts to do, your particular place on the team, so to speak.
That's right.
I think that's the most
your divine assignment.
Yeah, it really is. And that is the best book on the subject, I think. For those that like maybe something that's a little more narrative, a story, I finished recently a book by one of my favorite writers, Robert Benson. Benson is a great writer. He's written books on gardening and travel, all sorts of things. And he has a book called The Echo Within, Finding Your True Calling. And for him, it meant a crash and burn in the business world that didn't go well, and finding that echo within who he was as he listened to his life and let his own life speak to him, he realized he should be a writer and a kind of a recluse mystic and write religious books. And so he has this tender story of how to listen to the echo within and find in just a beautiful way a book that can help your soul really fly as you determine what your vocation or calling or career might be. So those are two that are certainly...
It's not difficult to read. It's sweet, it's tender. But it's a relatively easy read. You could read it in a couple of sittings. It's so beautiful.
Do you like Let Your Life Speak by Parker Palmer?
Oh, absolutely.
There again.
Oh, yeah. That was wonderful. And Parker Palmer is just a great author anyway. And wasn't he from the education background? Isn't he good? Doesn't he
He's
speak to educators?
He's wonderful stuff on education. And, in fact, he wrote a book on teaching and documented teachers that had the most passion and joy in their work. And he said, you know, almost all of these teachers seem to view their jobs as almost like holy callings. And it dawned on him that, yes, we need to write a book on vocation. And so it was inspired by his work with good teachers that he wrote this little meditation called Let Your Life Speak. Hey, another book I know, and I have to say this, and I'm not just saying it because he's going to be on your show, but, you know, Gordon Smith has a book called Courage and Calling. The subtitle is Embracing Your God-Given Potential. Courage and Calling. That's both a good, solid theology of work and calling, but also sort of a discerning process through his deep Ignatius work on how one discerns the passions of their own lives. I like Gordon a lot. He's a really articulate guy. It's a fairly serious book, but it's only $15. It's good to have. But I know he's going to be on your show. December 9th?
But yes, that's correct. And in fact, when I called him up to ask if he would be a guest in my show, I had to tell him that instead of just highlighting it, I felt like I should have taken the book and just dipped it in a bucket of yellow paint.
Oh.
I just truly loved his book.
Well, I'm glad you got it. We recommend it to people. And I'll tell you, once I met him, too, and heard him speak, I fell in love with the book and his other books that much more. Sometimes it's that way. When you hear an author online or on book talks or a tape or something, then all of a sudden their written words come alive, and that's a helpful little thing for me, is if I can hear authors, I sometimes appreciate their books that much more. So I hope people tune in on December 9th, listen to Gordon as he talks about vocation and calling, and then get his book called Courage and Calling.
I agree. Thank you. Well, good. Well, what, Byron, I know you could continue on that one, but what if a person is just now embarking on a career, maybe a recent graduate or an empty nester, what books would you suggest he or she read?
Well, this is sort of complicated, and I guess it's where connecting with a coach like you would be most helpful. But I believe sort of discovering what you are made of, what you're wired to do, what your passions and your inclinations are, is useful. So a tool that I like is a book called Made to Count. Discovering what to do with your life. It includes a free online personality profile and spiritual gifts. Bob Record and Randy Singer. And Randy Singer is one of my favorite people. He's a novelist.
Great.
He writes novels about law. But he's also a passionate person that helps people connect vocation and career. And so that's something like Made to Count, I think, would be useful. There's a fun little book called Five. It's almost like a gift book with big super graphics and giant ink, big bright color pages. And it asks you, where do you want to be 5 years from now? And what five things do you have to do to get yourself where you want to be 5 years from now? And it's almost, like I say, a coffee table book with big super graphics and cool look. But it's also sort of a workbook to remind you to kind of make some big goals where you're going to be 5 years down the line. So something like that, I think, could be helpful. If you're a college graduate, there's not a better book than, of course, The Call. But there's a book on taking the idea of The Call to college graduates, and it's called Crossroads by Colin Creel. The subtitle is Navigating Your Calling and Career, and it's for people entering the job market for the first time with this broad vision of holy career-making, culture-making, transforming life. sure, it does all that, but then it also gives us practical stuff. How do you do a job interview, and what should you wear, and those kind of things. Navigating
the fallen
career with lots of testimonies from all kind of people, like Josh McDowell and Steve Artenberg,
yep,
and counselor Max Licato. So that's a useful book for younger folks especially.
Oh. Well, I'm going to order it, so just consider that a purchase for me, and five also. I have the other books that you've mentioned, but I don't have those two, so I'll need to get that.
Christine and Tom Sine's book called Living on Purpose, Reading or Finding God's Best for Your Life. It came out before the smash hit Purpose-Driven Life, but it gives you some guidance to this broad kingdom vision, integrating faith into making a transforming difference in life. It's all this stuff we're talking about. And then it begins, mm-hmm, to help you set goals, a personal life mission statement. You hear about corporations and CEOs having mission statements. This invites you to create a mission statement, and they help you reinvent your lifestyle and even your time style, because we're so busy, we often don't really do the things we want to do the most. I think this is one of the best kind of overview books about living on purpose that I've ever seen. Living on Purpose, Finding God's Best for Your Life. It is shakes you up a little bit, because it asks you, what really are you living for? And what most deeply do you believe, and how can you make a difference in God's way by integrating your faith with every area of life, particularly your career? It's a celebration, too. He thinks it's a joyful thing to do. So I know groups are using that. There's workbook things in it. There's discussion questions. He calls them off-ramps, where you get off the big fast pace, get on an off-ramp, and think about things a little bit, and he gives you these, mm-hmm, off-ramps to do. So I like that one, too. I would recommend that, particularly for people maybe in midlife career or reestablishing new priorities, empty nesters, as you said. That
great
might be useful.
Well, Byron, before I ask you any other questions, let me ask you this. What special offers, if any, would you like to make available to our listeners, and how would they get in touch with you?
Oh, my. Well, thanks for asking. That's a great idea. I think we would like to do a deal where we would offer 20% off any books that any of your listeners order from Hearts and Minds, assuming that they're in print and regular kind of books. I mean, I suppose there should be some small print somewhere. But by and large, 20% off anything. If somebody emails us and said, we heard you on Jory's show, we'd be happy to offer that 20% off, and we'll do that through our website, which is www.heartsandmindsbooks, all one long word, all spelled out, www.heartsandmindsbooks.com.
Oh, that's excellent.
We have an inquiry
right
page there. You can put in an inquiry and ask, what do you have on this or that? What do you recommend for this or that? And we'll get back to you. And then if you want to use a credit card or whatever, it's secure, and we have the regular ability to do that. But mostly we like, mm-hmm, to just talk to people. So send us an email. You can email me personally at read, R-E-A-D, like you read a book, read at heartsandmindsbooks.com.
Okay, well, that's great, Byron. Well, we're going to take one more break now, but when we come back, we'll discuss your specific suggestions for listeners who yearn to live a life that matters. I have a couple more specific questions I want to ask you about that.
Sure.
This is Jory Fisher, your host, and my guest, Byron Borger. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw six war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Are you destined to be an everyday change agent in your organization, your relationships, your community? Learn how to become one when you tune in to The Change Agent on the Voice America Variety Channel. Justin A. Flunder, the Chief Change Agent leader of the Flundonian Group, will help you examine every aspect of your personal and professional life. By observing your own thoughts, words, and actions, you will become the everyday leader that you are meant to be. The Change Agent airs live Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to jory@joryfishercoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul. You've been listening to Byron Borger, owner of Hearts and Minds Bookstore, offering you his recommendations for books on callings and careers, vocations and avocations. Byron, what if a person has just been laid off or is discouraged or is feeling unfulfilled or unuseful? Do any particular books come to mind or authors that would be helpful to them?
Well, that's interesting that you ask, because with this talk of vocation and transforming living, there are folks who just haven't found themselves there yet, and they get discouraged by all this grandiose talk. So I'm with you. That's a great question. There is a book called Bounce, Living the Resilient Life, that just came out from Oxford University Press. It's not too heavy, but it's written by a pastoral counselor named Robert Wicks down at Johns Hopkins, I believe, in Baltimore. And he is one of the world's leading scholars on resilience, what it means to have a life that's resilient, it can bounce back. Just came out, good research, it looks really good. One of the books that's helped me a lot is called Rebuilding Your Broken World by Gordon MacDonald. I'd read anything Gordon MacDonald writes. Right. And when your world begins to fall apart, how do you rebuild it step by step? The resilient man himself has come back after some difficulties, and that's a helpful book. We just got a new one in by Nancy Carmichael called Surviving One Bad Year. I don't know if some of your listeners have had a bad year, not just one bad thing, but a couple of bad things, a bunch of bad things. This is seven spiritual strategies to lead you to a new beginning after a bunch of bad times. It looks really useful for loss of any kind. And then I just want to say quickly, Jory, A Grace Disguised by Jerry Sitzer is about grief. It's not about losing your job necessarily, but there are tons of people out there that are deeply, deeply hurting, and I think this is the best book I've ever read on consolation. A Grace Disguised, the subtitle is How the Soul Grows Through Loss. It's one of our bestsellers because we tell people about it all the time.
And it's good for someone who perhaps has suffered the death of a loved one, you're saying?
Well, that's certainly how it got started. He lost a number of loved ones in a car wreck. But, again, a divorce, hard times, losing a job, just anybody that's deeply hurt, wondering where is God in the midst of it, how to grow as a person who's been through hard times. It's maybe more serious than Bounce, but it really is a serious study of grief and consolation, and we like to tell people about books like that, too.
Oh, thank you.
And then what books would you recommend to somebody who's uncertain about the meaning of life while we're here on Earth in the first place?
Oh my. Well, if you want to back up to that very basic question, that is the number one question. I think one of my favorite books is called The Long Journey Home. I mentioned Oz Guinness, The Call. This is sort of a prequel to The Call. He basically says, look, you've got to decide whether there's a God or not. Either there is or there isn't. And if there is, either you can know that God, like Christians teach and Jews, or you can't. God, sort of in the Buddhist or Hindu vision, God is just sort of around and up there, but doesn't have personality. You can't be known by that God. And he walks you through the implications, even for things like grief, for these different worldviews. And he says, basically, they're your choices. As we look for this journey home, we have to conclude what we believe in the deepest sense of the worldviews of the world, and either there is or there isn't a God, and if there is a God, you can know God or you can't, and he looks at the implications of all that. For something maybe a little more fun, there's a new book by Donald Miller that's just a hoot. It's called A Million Miles in a Thousand Days. They're making a movie of Donald Miller's life, and he basically says, you know, my movie life is better than my real life. I'm pretty boring, actually. And they're like, what do you do? And he says, well, I write memoirs about God. A lot of people like Blue Light Jazz. And they said, well, nobody cares about that. What do you do? And he realizes he doesn't always do that much. And so he sets about to change his life, to find a grand story, like you would in a movie, a story that makes sense of who he is and his character development and his overcoming obstacles. And so he uses the movie-making idea of what would it look like if they're making a movie about your life? What would you want to change? What would you do differently?
Wow.
How could your life begin to be a life that tells a story and that is a story? And so it's a funny book about this guy trying to reconfigure his life in light of a story that's worth telling. Donald Miller, great.
Thank you.
Somebody trying to figure it out. A Reason for God by Tim Keller is a must-read for anybody that's wondering if they believe in God or not. And, of course, there's memoirs like, say, Girl Meets God by Lauren Winter. Just a journey, a story, a testimonial of a good writer, a young woman that makes a conclusion that she believes Jesus is who he said he was. I like John Piper's book called Don't Waste Your Life, whether you're in retirement or whether you're young. Do you want to live for something and leave a legacy? And what do you believe about that? Is there a God that calls us at all? And do we have any obligation to be joyful in knowing that God? So there's a few, I think,
wonderful,
that can help people sort it through.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Well, can you sum up in 1 minute any additional advice you might have for any member of our listening audience who yearns to lead a life that matters?
Well, for these very things, we do have to create the habits of heart, the space and time to read. I think reading widely is one of the great underrated resources we have. We can go to the library. We can go to the bookstore. I think we have to have mentors and community. We have books on community and forming mentors and coaches. I would encourage people to find a church that makes sense of this stuff. And I would encourage people, I think, to intend to their inner life. Much of our careers and our jobs and vocations are outward, the things we do with our hands. But what really matters oftentimes is the under the surface stuff, below the iceberg level, and
sure,
attending to the deepest things, to resting and knowing ourselves and knowing our God. That maybe is the deepest thing we need to do if we're going to be entrepreneurs with our lives that make a difference.
Hmm. Entrepreneurs with our lives. That's a good state. I hadn't heard that before. Well, thank you, Byron. You've been absolutely wonderful. And everybody out there, you've been listening to Heart and Soul. Our guest has been Byron Borger, proprietor of Hearts and Minds Bookstore in Dallastown, Pennsylvania. And Byron has made an offer. Byron, can you just really quickly repeat that offer, how they can get a hold of you and what the offer would be if they wish to purchase any of the books you've mentioned?
If you say you've been listening to Heart and Soul or you're listening to Jory, just give us that information. We'll give you a 20% off any things you order from us. Hearts and Minds can be found at www.heartsandmindsbooks.com, or you can send me an email at read@heartsandmindsbooks.com. We can correspond a little, and we'll give you 20% off and say you're a listener of Jory.
Thank you so much, Byron. Well, each week, Heart and Soul brings you conversations with people who are truly making a difference in their families, communities, and worlds. I like to close each show with a quote, and this week's quote is by Benjamin Disraeli, a well-known British prime minister in the 19th century. He said, "The secret of success is constancy of purpose." And Byron, you and Beth have had constancy of purpose for lo these many decades, and we definitely thank you for that.
This is Jory Fisher with Heart and Soul. I invite you to visit my website at www.joryfisher.com to email me if you are serious about discovering your unique God-given purpose and to tell your friends about Voice America Variety. Next week, you'll hear Dr. Scott Lim, a renowned cardiologist who specializes in the care of congenital heart disease, and Mr. Kevin Gordon, a congenital heart patient, discuss their passion for improving, prolonging, and saving the lives of persons born with congenital heart defects. May you have a blessed and purposeful week, and may you make a difference wherever you go. Thank you again, Byron, and thank you, listeners. God bless.
Thank you for joining us on Heart and Soul, Reflections on Passion, Purpose, and Perseverance. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, when host Jory Fisher brings you another inspiring show. We'll see you then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.